What's up, everybody? Welcome into another edition of Trust the Podcast on Sikkim365.com. We come to you from Brazos Parking across the street from McLean Stadium, our normal spot with the Sikkim 365 studios. Craig Smoke with you as always. Midday host of UNR weekdays 12 to 3 on ESPN Central Texas, also Sikkim365.com team reporter, and joined as always by Grayson Grunhafer, director of broadcasting, also team and recruiting reporter for Sikkim365.com as well. And Grayson, how are we doing this week?
Good. I mean, it's March, right? I mean, it's March Madness. It's time for the one of the best sporting events, you know, that I get to watch. I mean, it's so much fun to watch this college basketball tournament, of course, the conference tournaments as well. Those are great too. And then also recruiting season, camp season for me kind of gets started this weekend. So that kind of starts to shape up. Two weekends in a row, one in Dallas, one in Houston. And so going and getting to see a lot of the top-rated recruits in the country and kind of some of the hidden guys as well, and kind of see how they compete. So yeah, it's a good week. It's an exciting time. And March Madness, got to be excited about that.
Yeah, it should be fun. This is the time of year that really matters the most, obviously. You're in some cases, win or go home situation, and Baylor will be in that situation, not necessarily this week at the Big 12 tournament for either the men or the women, but certainly after that, that's all she wrote. It's the tournament, and it's you win or you go home. And so we're down to the nitty-gritty, truly. But up first, it will be the Big 12 tournament out in Kansas City for both the men and the women. I will be out there, actually leaving tomorrow as we record this on a Tuesday. I'll be out there on Wednesday along with my co-host Q, and we'll be out there for however long Baylor lasts. I would expect the ladies will keep us out there probably until the end of the weekend. The men, Grayson, well, let's start with the men. I'm not so sure how long they're going to keep us there because as of late, it has been very up and very down for this Baylor men's basketball team. Injuries have started to come into play and have had an effect. Just the grind of the season, I think, has had a little bit of an effect. And when you play as physical as they do, and you're this deep into this run, and now you're starting to have some injuries, it could be taking a little bit of a toll. They are not necessarily that team that we saw maybe a month or two ago. These recent weeks, they've started to show some weaknesses, or at least some things that maybe they were able to overcome earlier, like a free throw shooting game where they're not shooting particularly well, which is pretty much every game from the free throw line, but they could kind of overcome that. They're in the time of year now where they can't not shoot well from the free throw line and expect to keep on winning games. They're not in a situation now where they can't be really all that healthy and expect to win many games. I think the health will work itself out, but what is your level of concern knowing that they don't really even have to win this weekend to still be a number one seed? They're pretty much locked into that from all the bracketology that I've seen, as much as you can be locked into that. But what's your level of concern or just kind of when it comes to the men now entering the postseason, seeing what we've seen the last three Saturdays and just kind of the up and down nature of their schedule over the last five games?
Yeah, it's pretty concerning, but if you get a one seed, it's not all that concerning. And as far as, you know, me saying that, the reason why I say that is because if you get a number one seed, I think the number is you have 40% chance of making the Final Four, or 20%. It's one of those. I'll have to look up the exact number, but I know Ashley and I talked about this. Making the Sweet 16, I think, is like 70% chance. So that they're really in a good spot still. I mean, because you get a one seed, you're going to have an easy path to get to a Sweet 16, Elite Eight, maybe even Final Four, you know, if you're able to get a run going. I came into this kind of thinking, oh man, they need to win a lot of these games in order to get their confidence back. And sometimes teams need that. Other times teams need to just be healthy and rest. So I think you're going to see two teams with different approaches in this tournament. I think Kansas is going to take the approach of, we don't care about the Big 12 tournament. You know, we don't want to get hurt. We're just going to go into the tournament. We know what we can do. Know everything like that. We know we're going to be the number one overall seed. I know there's a lot of people on the board that think Baylor's going to get the number one seed. They're not going to get the number one seed over Kansas. I don't even think if they meet in the conference championship game and Baylor beats them, I don't think they're getting it either way. Because I think the regular season matters more, to be honest. But on the flip side, I think Baylor's going to really care about this. I think that they ended the season kind of with a sour taste in their mouth and didn't look great for long stretches of it. But I think they're going to come out and play really, really well in this conference tournament. I think they need to. I think this is a team that does need that confidence back and need to get that mojo going. But either way, I don't think it matters if they do or not, because I think they're a one seed pretty much without a doubt.
Well, yeah, taking a look at Bracket Matrix right now, they, along with Baylor, Gonzaga, and Dayton, the number one seeds. Dayton actually has one, I guess, metric that has them actually as a three seed. Mm-hmm. But for Baylor and KU, they are the only two schools right now that everybody's got as a number one seed. Like, everybody. So, barring some, I mean, we're talking like, what, like 50 different, you know, metrics here that are combined.
141 brackets. Oh, well,
okay. Yeah. That's what I meant. That's what I was trying to say. Yeah. So, yeah, they're number one on all of them. So, barring just some ugly showing versus the winner of the play-in game, I fully expect them to be a one seed. But yeah, it would go a long way just to see them play well and just to see them, you know, win a game or two and get some confidence back. I don't think they're necessarily really lacking in confidence right now. I just think it's, and tell me if I'm wrong, just a combination of grind, injuries to key guys like Mark Vidal's clearly not 100%, and that matters a lot. And just, you know, a lot of those games of similar types that they had earlier in the season, they, you know, made a play or got lucky or whatever. They came out on the winning side of it, and then just, you know, sometimes the coin flips, and they just so happen in a couple of those closer games not been able to pull it out at the end.
Yeah, I think that I think that kind of somewhat impacts their confidence a little bit, because that West Virginia game, I mean, you know,
I'm not saying they're not. It's not. I'm just saying they're still confident, but I'm not saying they're not lacking in a little bit of it based on recent results. I definitely think it's had an effect, some of these losses.
I mean, two of their last three games, they've given up a 50-point half.
Right, yeah.
That's not what Baylor has done all year long.
Right.
So that's kind of where I'm at. They just need to get back to playing better basketball. I mean, that's kind of the root of it, whether they win the conference tournament or not. Mm-hmm. I just think they need to play better basketball. I do agree with you that the injuries definitely hurt. I mean, Matt Meyer getting hurt, like, very beginning of the game. Devontae Bandu also getting hurt, mm-hmm. both having to leave, and that's a bad start. Then you mix in Gillespie, Vidal, and Flo Thamba all in foul trouble, and you're just sitting there going, oh, yeah, and then Tristan Clark couldn't play. So you're just sitting there like, who are you going to put in? I mean, everyone on the board saying they're going to put in Okiki or Okeke, and
yeah,
that he came in for a minute, but I just mean – they were run out of bodies.
Right. He doesn't need to be seeing the court unless it's like the human victory cigar type of situation. Or, you know, he's just all that's left. I mean, great young man, hugely influential on both the football and basketball programs, I think, in ways. But, no, he doesn't need to be seeing the court during this time of year. That's not a knock on him. That's just reality. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, when you're having to start to reach for Obi Mokiki off the bench and things like that, then, yeah, you're in a little bit of a health situation, to say the least.
Yeah, so obviously that performance wasn't great. But, again, I fully expect this team to play really hard in this conference tournament, and I actually have them winning the conference tournament.
Do you really?
I think they're going to make a run. I think they're going to win this thing, and in large part because I don't think Kansas is going to care. I think there's a few other teams in here that are going to care a lot, and then I think there's a few other teams that are in here due for a bit of a letdown.
Well, the tournament is all set now, and there will actually be fans in attendance as we sit here right now. I am going to Kansas City with all of this coronavirus madness and not really hitting the panic button like so many people are. Like, the traveling, I'm just kind of like, okay, well, hopefully this works out all right. I'm not nervous or scared or anything like that, but some tournaments have decided to leave the fans out completely and just play in empty arenas. The Big 12 has not made that decision. The only decision that they have made, well, and some have actually just canceled the tournaments outright, but the Big 12, they have not. Instead, they've just, you know, barred reporters from the locker rooms, and everything will just take place like podium and reporters in chairs, press conference style, all media sessions. We're not allowed to even, like, walk on the court at any point during the tournament, not even in the post game. Like, let's say the Lady Bears were to win the championship, or the men, and streamers are falling. We're not allowed to walk out there. So I'm fine with any precautionary measures anybody feels like they need to take, but I don't know that the reporters being around are, like, we're the ones that are going to, you know, suddenly, like, get this thing going crazy, because, you know, these athletes are pretty dirty and sweaty and all over each other and getting physical and all of that. So I don't know how much that's really going to matter is what my point is, versus like flat out not having certain people in the arena. I think that's much more of a precautionary measure than just like, we won't do the in the locker room interviews. But that's the stance the Big 12 has taken. So with a couple of days left to go, we'll see if that gets tweaked or not at all. But that won't make for as much fun post game, because one of the things about the Big 12 tournament is I've got memories of being in locker rooms after those. I've got memories of when Louisville upset the Baylor women in Oklahoma City, and we were in the post game locker room, and I think I was interviewing like Alexis Prince, and you could hear Brittany Griner wailing, crying in the bathroom shower area. So that was memorable from being in a post-game locker room. And then like last year, obviously, they were winning all the time, so it was always fun to go in there, and especially with that fun of a group, just to see them kind of in their environment having fun. But I've seen people get like downright upset from, you know, a couple of athletic reporters of not being able to go in the locker room. I don't think it's that big of a deal. It is going to cut out some of the access, though. We won't have like that really good, fresh off the court type of one-on-one with emotions high, whether good or bad. So, you know, it'll take a little bit of a dent there, but still looking forward to this tournament, and hopefully nothing else changes and it can just kind of go on as scheduled without any more, you know, fears being thrown out there or people trying to, you know, hit the panic button.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really fun tournament to watch. I won't be there, but, you know, you going, that'll still be a lot of fun to kind of watch it and see, you know, this really good conference play out its conference tournament. I think it's going to be an exciting conference tournament, too. I do believe that there are still some pretty good teams in the Big 12. I'm really excited about the 4-5 and the 3-6 matchups. I think both of those are going to be great. But,
well, yeah, let's take a look at those. The number one seed's Kansas, obviously. They're going to play the winner of Oklahoma State and Iowa State. And what the hell, Oklahoma State? I'm sorry. I just can't think of any other reaction to what they did this past Saturday versus Texas. With Texas flying high, Shaka's asking the fans to show up. Hey, we're on a 5-game win streak. Like, come show your support. And they just lay the biggest egg imaginable.
They got blown out.
Like, what in the world was that?
Yeah, they got routed.
That was crazy. So, anyways.
The tournament on the line, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, 5 wins in a row, and yeah, the Oklahoma win was quite fluky because it was a last-second heave or whatever, but they had some mojo going, and yeah, just out of, I mean, Oklahoma State just kind of out of nowhere off the top rope on the road in Austin. So anyways, the playing game, Oklahoma State, Iowa State, the 8-9 winner of that game will meet Kansas and get beat. And even if Kansas is not as concerned as you're kind of alluding to what you think their mindset might be, I still expect them to win their first game versus either Iowa State or Oklahoma State. So once they do that, then they will go face the winner of Texas Tech and Texas, the 4-5 matchup. Texas actually a higher seed than Texas Tech, which is kind of crazy. But those two will square off and will face Kansas.
Yeah, so I do think that, like I said, I don't think Kansas is going to take this tournament very seriously, but I do think they're going to win that first game. Mm-hmm. I do believe that, even though I think Oklahoma State's going to win that first game, and then I think Oklahoma State's going to give Kansas a game, though.
Man, I hope you're wrong. You know how much I just hate seeing Iowa State lose at things.
Yeah. They've had a magical year. But they did have a second team all-conference player who only played like half the year, so that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
But in that Texas versus Texas Tech matchup, I mean, a lot of people are calling it a play-in game. I think it definitely is a play-in game for Texas. They have to win or they're out. Tech is an interesting one because on the bracket matrix, they're in on pretty much I think they're only not in on, yeah, they're in on 134 of the 141 possible brackets at this moment.
Right.
So they're sitting in a fairly good place. Texas is only in 46 of them. So I think that kind of tells you the gap there. But
and they were probably in how many before that game on Saturday? I know it wasn't a
still wasn't
ton.
A lot.
It wasn't like... Well,
they've added, so it was at they only had 95 brackets.
Mm-hmm. They've added brackets.
Week, and they've added brackets. I think they were only in like maybe 12.
Yeah, I know they started to get some love, so I was curious how much of an effect that had. But yeah, now it's put them in a spot where they really have
they have to
slip ups. Yeah.
Tech has some wiggle room, but at the end of the day, I do expect Tech to win this game.
Yeah.
I expect Tech to advance. Texas will be out. Tech will win that, and then Tech will be in the tournament by winning that. So I think they'll face Kansas in the semis on that half.
And on the other half, it'll be the number two seed Baylor Bears. They will face the winner of 7-seeded TCU and number 10 K-State. I would expect the Frogs to win this, but who the heck knows, quite frankly. And I would hope Baylor wins this first round matchup, or I guess technically quarterfinal matchup, versus either the Frogs or the Wildcats.
Yeah, I think Baylor will win against whoever they play. I'm just curious who wins that game. I think TCU will, but man,
I'm with you. It's a kind of a toss up.
Yeah, that showing that they had in their last game of the year against Oklahoma, where they were up by, I think, 20s,
yeah, like 20, 21, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, and then they just blew the lead. Their defense is abysmal. I think Baylor puts 70-something on those guys, and they advance. I do think TCU will find a way to win that game,
mm-hmm.
but I think Baylor is able to advance there to get to the semis.
And would hopefully be looking for a little measure of revenge after what happened in Fort Worth a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, Baylor will face either TCU or K-State, and then on the other side of this side of the bracket, a quarterfinal matchup, number 3 Oklahoma, number 6 West Virginia. The winner of that game would be who Baylor would face if they win their first game.
Yeah, and Oklahoma's beaten West Virginia both times this year.
It's kind of surprising.
It's kind of an interesting nugget, because West Virginia has only lost one time all year at home, and it was to Oklahoma. So, and then West Virginia, of course, beat Baylor really pretty handedly, at least at the end, in Morgantown. But I think Oklahoma beats them again. I think they beat them a third time, and it's not really because I think Oklahoma's a great team, but I think West Virginia put everything into beating Baylor that last matchup of the year. I also think West Virginia is a very different team when they go on the road or to neutral sites. I got Oklahoma beating them a third time. I think that Brady Manick, Christian Doolittle, that combo right there, Austin Reeves as well, they're able to propel the Sooners into a semifinal matchup against Baylor.
Well, I think that would be a fun game to see. Baylor's beaten Oklahoma both times this year, but what was the first contest where they really gave them a run?
Well, it was weird because Baylor was up
right. Both
games throughout, but yeah. OU hit Manick went
Manick,
off in the second half, and I think they only won by 4.
Yeah, it was a close game. I want to say
65-61, I think.
Yeah, something like that, and I don't remember if we were in Miami at the time or not, but I just remember Manick going crazy and thinking at the time, because they were on that win streak of like, oh no, don't want to let Oklahoma jump up and beat you. But hey, the Bears pulled it out, so very well could be seeing the Sooners a third time. You're going to be seeing somebody for the third time, including in your first game, either K-State or TCU. Meanwhile, the Baylor men are coming off of a loss. Missed out on the Big 12 title for the regular season. Can win the tournament championship, which would be really nice. And they're dealing with some things at the moment, like getting guys healthy and, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say being all on the same page, because I don't think they're not on the same page, but just kind of getting back to it and looking like a good basketball team, because there's been times where they just don't look that good. But while they get this extra time, I do want to point out as well that they also get some awards to look back on, as the Big 12 released their conference awards, and certainly the Baylor men had their fair share. Scott Drew, Big 12 Coach of the Year. Congratulations to him. Freddie Gillespie, Most Improved Player. Devontae Bandu, Sixth Man of the Year Award. And Davion Mitchell got Big 12 Newcomer of the Year. And I saw this being touted quite a bit, and rightfully so. All 5 starters earned All Big 12. First team in the 24-year history of the Big 12 that a team's had 5 All Big 12 team selections. Jared Butler was unanimous All Big 12 first team. Teagan Gillespie, All Big 12 second team. Mitchell and Mark Vidal, All Big 12 third team. And then also 3 players on the 5-man all-defensive team, 3 out of the 5, and it makes sense because that's how they won a lot of their games this year. Vidal, Gillespie, and Mitchell, all a part of that all-defensive team. And Scott Drew, that Big 12 Coach of the Year, the first time that's ever happened. So pretty big list of honors there to run through. Had guys an all-newcomer team with Mitchell and Teague as well. Which they've had a lot of those here in recent years, the all-newcomer team. But, not a bad little addition to the trophy case and all these honorees for the Baylor men's team.
Yeah, not bad. And Scott Drew's got an opportunity to win National Coach of the Year
as well. Yes,
he does. He is definitely in the running for that. I would probably say he's the favorite, honestly. I think at this moment, maybe Anthony Grant at Dayton, maybe he's a
he'd
name
have to be
that
considered.
I've heard.
Yeah.
Bill Self not being in the semifinalist list is an absolute joke, though. I could not believe his name was.
I don't see what's wrong with that. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, I mean, for just seeing something like Bruce Pearl is on there over...
Tennessee is pretty good.
Bruce Pearl at Auburn?
Oh, Auburn, excuse me. Yeah, I was thinking Bruce Pearl.
They're pretty good. They also lost to A&M on their home
court
a couple weeks ago. But Bill Self went 17-1 in the Big 12 and then the number one team in the nation. I know they had big expectations coming into the year, but I'm just looking over there going, they're the number one team in the nation. You're telling me he didn't do one of the top, 12 coaching jobs in the country?
No,
that's hard for me to imagine.
He definitely did. It might be one of those things where it's, you know, he's up for this every year. Yeah. And I don't agree with that. I think if you are the coach of the year, it shouldn't matter if you've won it 5 years in a row. I don't like this. Well, you know, he's won it twice, or he'll win it eventually if it's a younger coach. Like, the example I always use with that kind of a thing is the Heisman Trophy vote when Adrian Peterson was a true freshman. And I remember Heisman voters who chose not to vote for him because, like, oh, he's just a freshman. He'll be back. He'll be in this. He never made it back to New York. Right. He never made it back because he just didn't. He had injuries that piled up over the course of his career there at OU before he left early. And so I don't ever like the, well, we'll give it to him next. There might not be a next time. And there also shouldn't be any, well, he gets it every year. So I kind of hate when people do that with awards.
Right. And I'm not saying he should have won it.
But no, he should be in there.
Semifinals. Yeah, that's kind
of
my big thing. I think Scott Drew is honestly the most deserving. I think Anthony Grant would be the only one that I would be like, okay, if he won, I guess. Even though they don't have the same resume, I get it. They weren't ranked, and now they're a number one seed probably. But a couple other things that stood out on here. I mean, amazing that Jared Butler, unanimous first-team All-American. I believe he's the first one since Jordan Motley, I think, at Baylor to be a first-team All-American in the Big 12. Motley was also second-team consensus All-American, I believe. So curious where Jared Butler, if he's able to creep up onto one of those lists as well. You know, Tyrese Halliburton being on second team is the only thing that I just go, that's a little bit of a joke there. That they weren't good with him. They haven't been good without him. But for me, I'm just looking to see Marcus Garrett on third team and just going, come on now. That's just ridiculous. I even think Davion Mitchell or Mark Vidal are more deserving than Tyrese Halliburton was this year for Iowa State. But those were my only huge takeaways. Everything else seems about right. Udoka Azubuike, I believe, was player of the year, which seems about right to me. Freddie Gillespie, most improved player, definitely right there. So yeah, great list of awards, and great for Baylor, great for Scott Drew to finally get this award, and Baylor looking pretty good. I mean, that's quite the feat to have all your starting five on the first, second, or third team.
Yeah, you know, Kansas is kind of used to things like that, and other schools have had their certain special runs or special years, but that's a lot of honorees, and that says a lot when you're taking like 3/5 of a first team defense or whatever. I mean, that's saying a lot, you know, and so we obviously they've had a great year. It's not all that surprising they're getting acknowledged for it, but yeah, definitely soak that in a little bit, because there's not going to be a lot of years like that where you're cleaning up nearly every superlative and having your starting five all on all Big 12 and coach of the year and so on and so forth. So yeah, and going to the Halliburton thing, I think too much credence is also given to guys just because they're going to be stars at the next level. So, oh, he's a lottery pick, we can't leave him off because we'll look dumb when people look back in the record. Like, anybody's going to do that anyways. But no, I'm with you on that. And boy, the Big 12, as much as it takes away from Iowa State, it also gives them some things sometimes, kind of like last year with the Women's Player of the Year award and, you know, whatever. But I'm not in agreement on I'm with you on the Halliburton thing.
Yeah, so I do have to ask you, you know, you're going up to the Big 12 tournament. What are you expecting to happen? Do you have a favorite? Do you think Kansas is gonna win this?
Well, overall, I'm expecting the Lady Bears to win theirs, and for the men, I could see Tech jumping up or somebody like that jumping up and winning this thing.
Okay, so I have Tech in the finals.
I don't know. I've just got a feel that they're gonna make this their little run, right? And I could definitely see them in the finals versus Baylor. I mean, everything's telling me to go with Baylor, but man, just the way that they've looked as of late, I'm just not fully confident. I think, though, being in tournament play and knowing, like, hey, this is it, not that this tournament is it, but like knowing now, like, hey, it's go time, that they should be sharper. I think they'll play a little bit better than maybe we've seen as of late. And I do expect them to win that first game versus the Frogs or the Wildcats. And I think I'll pick them to go play for that final versus either Tech or Kansas. Not sure who I picked just yet. But, yeah, I think it's going to be Baylor in the finals versus Tech or Kansas.
Cool. Yeah, I got Baylor versus Tech. I got Baylor winning it. So if they do that, yeah, they'll be locked into that one seed for sure. I think they already are, but that will be really interesting to talk about as well when Bracketology, you know, comes out Selection Sunday.
Yeah, certainly, certainly. So that's going to be going on starting on Thursday, Baylor men versus either TCU or K-State. Meanwhile, the ladies, they went out on a very surprising note. Their regular season Big 12 streak snap, regular season streak snap, everything snap in that very surprising loss to Iowa State this past weekend, and they're locked into a number one seed. They're going to be the heavy favorites to win the Big 12 tournament. All is not lost. I'm not concerned about them. I think, you know, they just ran into a team that was able to hit some big shots, and they just, quite frankly, never built a big insurmountable lead. They just kind of let the clones hang around close enough, and they shot well enough to stay close. And then in the end, you know, there's a little bit of a controversial call or two, and they're not able to walk out with a win. So I know that was a disappointment for them to not just go undefeated throughout Big 12 play, but when you're off a little bit, that's the kind of thing that can happen. When you let somebody hang around, even if you're not intentionally doing it, they're just hitting threes or what have you, that's something that can happen as well. So not able to get it done in crunch time this time around. Only loss number two on the year, and they now head as the number one overall seed to Kansas City to play in this Big 12 tournament versus either Oklahoma or Oklahoma State starting on Friday.
Yeah, Iowa State shot 41.7% from three. They ridiculous. Hit 10 threes, which is incredible, but it's even funnier that they only scored 57 points. So, you know, Baylor, I mean, this is one of those games where, for me, I just look at the stats and I go, okay, there was something off, whether it was officiating or whether it was, you know, Baylor not taking the right shots. But the way I'm looking at it is Baylor shot 7 threes. They shot 49 shots inside the arc, and they only shot 12 free throws, whereas Iowa State only shot 31 shots in the paint and shot 14 free throws. That's just a little weird to me. When you're a three-point shooting team, usually, you know, you're going to take threes. You're probably not going to go to the foul line as much.
Right.
When you're Baylor, you're going to pack it in the paint. You're going to get fouled, you know, you would think, occasionally. But this is the same formula that has really been when Baylor has gotten, you know, caught a loss in the tournament, is really when they can't get to the free throw line and they're not hitting threes.
And the other team is.
Exactly. And so I didn't like seeing this, obviously, because it just is one of those, okay, if they have a night like this, they won't be able to overcome it every time. Mm-hmm. You know, Iowa State's 18-11. You're going to face teams that are way better than Iowa State coming up, you know, probably in the Sweet 16.
I was going to say, it'll be a couple rounds before they do, but yeah, they will eventually.
Oh, no, they're not losing in the first or second round. But Sweet 16, we've seen them lose in the Sweet 16 mm-hmm. before.
Well, we saw them do that for about 8 years in a row until last year.
Yeah, just by this same formula. So hopefully they're able to regroup, kind of get it figured out. A little bit better. You know, when you see Nalissa Smith only playing 20 minutes, that's a little bit of a red flag to me as well. They need her to be extremely productive. So hopefully they turn around. I expect them to turn around in a big way in the Big 12 tournament, at least, and just kind of roll through these teams. And then we'll see what the draw looks like in the NCAA tournament. But who knows? Maybe this could be a good thing for the Bears.
Yeah, that's kind of how I took it. And I realized before I get any Lady Bear angry fan emails, they weren't losing in the Sweet 16 for like 8 years in a row. I understand that. I'm just a joke. But they were kind of hitting a wall there for a few seasons in a row, whether it's Sweet 16 or Elite Eight, just couldn't quite get over that hump and, you know, eventually busted through that thing. And they raised the trophy last year. But I think this is going to be a good thing for them. It stinks that you got to basically hit reset to zero, but you were kind of going to be doing that anyways. All this really affects is the record books. And look, it's hard to go win as many in a row as they won, whether it be regular season or Big 12 play or whatever. So, yeah, that's really unfortunate. But, you know, at the same time, they're still going to be a one seed. They're still going to be heavy favorites in most everybody they line up against. And I do think this is not like a wake-up call, because I don't think that they were so unfocused that they were in need of a wake-up call, but I do think it's kind of like a it's that it's a little chip that maybe they didn't have previously that they're not going to have because they lost a game they shouldn't have lost. Bottom line, and they had no business losing to Iowa State, and they did. So now you hit reset for the postseason. I fully expect them to go out and win this Big 12 tournament, and I expect them to go make a very deep run in the women's tournament as well. So they will sit back until Friday and then face off against either the Sooners or the Cowgirls. And I don't think either one of us are going to be picking them to lose that matchup, either the Sooners or the Cowgirls.
No, they're going to win the Big 12 tournament. I'm not picking them to lose to anybody in the Big 12. Not again.
I'm right there with you. I don't even really care too much to look at the matchups, quite frankly, because I'm that confident in it. So, yeah, they will get underway on Friday versus the winner of Bedlam. And I'll be out there covering both the men's and women's tournaments and be providing some stuff on Twitter from time to time and possibly on the boards as well. So, looking forward to it. Looking forward to Kansas City and seeing both tournaments going on simultaneously. And should mention, we mentioned all the men's awards. The Lady Bears also cleaned up their fair share awards. How about Kim Mulkey, Coach of the Year? And I put out a tweet yesterday. They got some pretty good response talking about the fact that there are four Big 12 Coaches of the Year so far in this sports calendar for the Baylor Bears, with Ryan McGuire in volleyball, Matt Rule in football, and now both basketball coaches. So not too shabby, four Big 12 Coaches of the Year. And I had Jason Cook over at Baylor pointed out Mac Rhodes was named AD of the Year. And we could go on like all sorts of superlatives, but the conference itself naming four of your head coaches Coach of the Year is not too shabby.
Yeah, that's quite the achievement. And who knows, maybe they'll
might
have
be five
more.
Or six. Yeah,
there could be some more awards coming soon. But I was really happy, you know, kind of looking at how everything shaped up. You know, Player of the Year, Lauren Cox. I thought that was kind of a good it just was one of those where it's like, they got it right.
It's,
you know?
Fitting. It's fitting. She's the best player in the league.
Right.
And
She was hurt,
and it's her final year, so I'm glad that she was able to take that award. Yeah.
Yeah, that was great to see. And you know, Dee, obviously Defensive Player of the Year. I think that was probably a really easy one there. So those were a couple that really stood out. And Kim Mulkey winning Coach of the Year. That with the way the conference shaped up this year,
right,
it was either her or the coach at TCU.
Oh, really? I was going to go Karen Aston. I felt she had a really strong campaign in 2019-20. Yeah. in addition to Lauren Cox, Player of the Year, Dee Defensive Player of the Year, Taya Cooper came in and fit in right away, basically. Newcomer or co-newcomer of the year, I should say, and Queen Egbo, Sixth Person of the Year. Nalissa Smith, Lauren Cox, Taya Cooper, All Big 12 First Team, Dee Richards Second Team, Juicy Landrum, Waco's own, La Vega's own, in her final season as well, gets all Big 12 Honorable Mention honors. So all of those ladies making first, second, and honorable mention teams.
Yeah, and Queen Egbo with Sixth Player of the Year.
That's pretty nice.
I don't know how many times Baylor has gotten that award, because it seems like they don't usually go too deep into their bench. So she provided quite the spark, especially when Lauren and Nalissa were both hurt at various times this year. Really nice to see her stepping up and get, you know, taking home some hardware.
Yeah, absolutely. And Cox was a unanimous. She shared that with a couple of other players from around the league. Nalissa Smith, first team as well. She's had a great year. She's going to be their star, I think, going forward for the next couple of seasons, or one of them, but certainly right at the front of the line.
Yeah, that Egbo and Smith duo is looking better and better each year.
It's looking pretty nice.
I think this year we've gotten to see a lot more Queen and a lot more Nalissa, honestly. And so I think that is, they're set up terrifically in the future. Now, obviously, replacing Lauren Cox is easier said and kind of thought about than actually done.
Yeah, I mean, she's, like, you can go out and recruit a bunch of five stars, but it doesn't mean you're going to replace Lauren Cox, you know. So she's just, she's one of the greatest players in program history. I don't think there's any question about that. She brought a title to Waco, had one of the most memorable moments in probably Baylor athletics history, actually going down in the title game. And then, you know, being able to come back and play for the majority of this year and possibly go out with another title, we'll see, is pretty cool. So, yeah, feel great for her. Feel great for Queen getting her due. Taya, you know, you never know how that's going to work out with a transfer, as we saw with the young lady who just never really fit in, Alexis Jones, two, 3 years ago. She was fine. She just didn't fit in like Taya fits in or
Chloe
last year fit in, you know? So I think Taya's far more of a Chloe than Alexis. But, yeah, good to see her come in and right away is getting some honors. And they were like the men, just kind of cleaning up most of the superlatives and a lot of the first team. So congratulations to all those ladies, and we'll see what they do in KC.
Yeah, it's exciting, that's for sure. They're going to be a one seed almost assuredly, I believe.
Yeah.
And hopefully get another Big 12 tournament championship. That'd be great. So, yeah, it's going to be a fun weekend. You're going to be busy.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good time watching some hoops, though.
Going to be very, very busy. Meanwhile, baseball over the weekend, kind of
back on track.
When they had started off, I was like, okay, you lost to Texas State. We already talked about that last week. And then right out of the gates, I don't know what it is about Fridays. I don't know what it is about Fridays and series openers, but this team is not very good at them. They fall 2-1 to Cal Poly, and I just thought, oh, no. At the same time, I was thinking, well, it's just a Friday game. And then sure enough, they turn around and win on Saturday and Sunday, 8-6 and 6-4. So they win the series, even though they lost the first game. But they do win the series, and they are probably, maybe by the time you're listening to this, going to be in action or have played Dallas Baptist on Wednesday afternoon. If you're listening to this tonight, that's tomorrow. And then they will have Grand Canyon University for a weekend series at Baylor Ballpark starting on Friday evening.
Yeah, and it's really disappointing, honestly, that they lost the first one. And the reason I say, you know, it's really disappointing is because you got your best outing of the season from Paul Dickens. I mean, Paul was fantastic in this one. He went 7 innings, only 4 hits, only 1 walk, which has been a huge issue for him this year,
yeah,
and 9 strikeouts. I mean, he was dynamite, and they still lost. I mean, it was just one of those where, I mean, you know, you don't expect to lose many games 2-1.
No.
You know, where you're only giving up
2. That's baseball, though.
It is, and it happens for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, against Cal Poly, you would hope that you're able to win that game. You're going to win a lot of those when Paul pitches that well.
Right.
I mean, you're gonna win a lot. Now, you're probably not going to face the same quality of team that Cal Poly is. But I think this was a huge series win. And the reason I say that is, you know, again, from a confidence standpoint, it's also because Cal Poly, you know, they don't have a great record. They're 5-11. But as we mentioned in the previous podcast, you know, they've beaten Vanderbilt. They have a win over Michigan. You know, they have a win over BYU. They have, you know, they have some sporadically good wins. They haven't really been consistent, but still some good wins. And now you look at Baylor's schedule and you go, what could their record be like in the next 14 games?
Yeah, they're not playing hardly anybody of note, right, quite frankly.
So Dallas Baptist is a top 25 team.
Yep.
They have 2 matchups against them during this 14-game stretch.
They're good, yes.
They're very good. So those are 2 opportunities to bolster your resume, get big wins. But I think this stretch is really important. These next 14 games, I personally think they need to hit something like 11-3 or 10-4. During this stretch, if they can do that, they're going to be sitting in great position. They need to find a way to go 5-1 or 6-0 in my mind against K-State and Kansas to start conference play.
Right.
Because you look at the Big 12 and holy cow, you better start racking up wins early.
Yep.
When you get to play those 2 teams. Kansas State won 3 out of 4 at Stanford over the weekend, which is kind of funny. Most people think, you know, Stanford's great team, not so much this year, but I thought, oh, how times have changed in baseball. But I'll tell you, I think they're in a good spot now. I really do. I think getting this you know, series win, you're 10-5 now. You got a great opportunity these next, you know, 14 games to really bolster that resume. And I think, you know, if they can play some good baseball, they might be able to get on a run that really propels them through the Big 12.
Well, it would be great if they could. You know, it was nice to get that series win last weekend because, man, when they lost that first game, I just thought, like, oh, no, it's going to be terrible if they somehow drop this series. But they were able to rebound. And you're right. Like, this is the part of the schedule to take advantage of if you can possibly, because you're getting DBU, which is not, you know, a given by any means. But you will face Dallas Baptist, 3 against Grand Canyon this weekend. UT Arlington's another solid baseball program and a little midweek tilt action. And then at K-State, Abilene Christian, Texas Southern, Kansas for 3, in Waco, DBU again, and then you know, grind. Start getting ready for the grind. Oklahoma, Texas, etc. Texas Tech. I mean, that's, it's going to be tough, but they got, you know, couple weeks or so to, or I guess more like 3 weeks or so to get that all squared away. Actually, even like a month from now, quite frankly, they've got time, point being, to get some wins, rack up some wins against teams they should rack up wins against, and hopefully get some confidence, get a few things ironed out that maybe they need to, and yeah, then get ready for if you can do all those things and come out of it with a nice record, you should have a lot of confidence and just know that the schedule's about to ramp up in a major, major way.
Yeah, and outside the Kansas schools, every other team has double-digit wins in the Big 12. So, you know, they better start racking up the wins, is all I can say, because, well, outside of Texas Tech, the rest of those schools are all pretty much up. I mean, you could lose a series to all of them. You could win a series against all of them.
Right.
They're probably not winning a series against Tech. I mean, maybe 2-1, but Tech, look, Tech's kind of just destroying people right now. So we'll see if that comes back down to earth. But Texas, Oklahoma looks really good this year, which I found kind of surprising. Oklahoma State, you know, kind of started the year off on the wrong foot against Grand Canyon. But they've rebounded nicely to get to 11-5, and TCU having a major rebound year from what they had a year ago. So, and West Virginia's 10-5 as well. So all those teams, it's going to be tough. This is going to be a grind, and Baylor needs to get off to a good start if they really want to compete in this conference and eventually maybe make it to postseason play as well.
Certainly. So elsewhere, I think we covered pretty much everything, but anything on the football front, practices start next week. Spring ball next week. Cannot wait. And hopefully just come back from KC in one piece and can get to that football grind. But anything, I know you were telling me earlier before we started recording that recruiting is kind of shut down right now because of spring breaks and things like that. So just on the football side of things, anything you'd like to pass along?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously the biggest thing was, you know, a week ago, Do we even get into Brandon Council's visit?
No.
We did not. Okay.
I don't believe so.
Yeah, I don't think we did either. So the Akron grad transfer visited Baylor, and he's a guy that Baylor's been on for a long time now. He posted the offer. He's interesting because he's been posting his offers. Most grad transfers don't do that, but he has. And Baylor put themselves in a great position on that front. And obviously, you know, a 6'4", I think he's like 320-pound offensive lineman who they really, really view as a potential starter for this team next season. Visit went great. I think they're in a good spot. He'll probably visit from what I've heard, there's a mixture of like LSU, Auburn, Missouri. Those three, I think, are the
Missouri.
Kind of the next level.
One of these things is not like the other.
Yeah, grad transfers, you know how it is. Playing time is one of those key factors, and I'm sure Missouri's offering him the world. So, when you look at it like that, but I did want to bring that up just because he'd be huge. Obviously, they need help on the offensive line, and so that's kind of where they're at there. Elsewhere, you know, spring break right now, guys are still going on visits kind of around the country, really. I mean, Baylor had a visitor this weekend. Trent McGaughey out of Shadow Creek, he came on a visit, but there are only three coaches here. But he came on a visit anyway. So there's a few.
Did he enjoy it with the three coaches?
Yeah, okay. He had a great time. But yeah, it's just kind of one of those points right now where there's not a lot happening on campus. Maybe a few visitors here or there just for private visits. But next week that'll change. When football starts, there'll be a lot of visitors coming in to watch practice and things like that. I'll also be at camp this weekend with Brian. We will be in Dallas covering Under Armour camp. So first chance to really get to view a lot of these 2021, 2022 guys in action. So that'll be a lot of fun. But other than that, that's pretty much it on recruiting. Those are kind of the things that have been going on. I expect Baylor to have a big list of visitors coming, not this weekend, but next weekend. It's going to be a very interesting one where they try to get grad transfer potential guys on campus. They try to get key visitors on campus and really try to take advantage of the recruiting circuit. So I'll have a lot more next week to share, but that's kind of an update on where we are at the moment.
All right. And as I mentioned, spring practice is starting next week. So that'll be a lot of fun. And I actually had the calendar here a second ago in front of me. Let's see here. So next Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they'll have practices, and Saturday. So four practices the first week, week two. They'll practice on the 24th, the 26th, and the 28th, which is a Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. And that Wednesday of that second week of practices, that Wednesday they will not be practicing, but that will be pro day on the 25th. So that should be as loaded of a pro day as since RG3's pro day year, I would think. And Corey Coleman, that group, X them as well, although I don't remember that being like overwhelmingly crazy or anything. And this one, I'm very interested because Matt Rule's not running the show. When he was, it was like the most quiet, just like structured, no hype. No, I mean, it's like drill, 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 done. We're over. Browse, it was like music's blasting, everybody's dancing around and stuff. So I wonder what Dave Aranda's pro day setup looks like. He's had a few of them at LSU, so he would know how to conduct these things. So I'm just, yeah, I'm interested in seeing how they kind of operate.
Yeah, that will be interesting, and unfortunately, we probably won't get to see, you know, the first round pick do a whole lot.
No,
or the second round pick, wherever Denzel goes, but we're probably not going to see him run. He'll probably do maybe position drills, but
if I'm him, I'm not doing much of anything.
Yeah,
there's not really much you can improve upon from what you did in Indianapolis, and that's the greatness of what he did out there. Is he turned heads? He got himself in the first round conversation. I don't know if he'll ultimately get in there, but there's certainly some smoke in that direction. And if I was him, I'd be in chill attire, just hanging out with my old friends, my old teammates up in the stands. You know, like they do when they are all in between classes or whatever, to come watch their buddies. So I would expect him to be doing most of that as well. And then we'll also get, in April, practices on the 2nd, 4th, 7th, 9th, 14th, 16th, and then on the 18th will be the spring game. So, yeah, next Tuesday it all gets started, the Dave Aranda era on the field as far as practices go. So I guess the mailbag is what's up next, unless you have anything else. And our first question is about the spring game and whether or not it will be open to the public, which is from Sikkim Zay. And Zay, from what I understand, it'll be just like the last couple years, and it will be open to the public. But if that's changed, I have not heard any word on that. So, yeah, I would fully expect it to be at McLean Stadium, typical spring game setup.
Yeah, I believe so, too. I know last year a lot of people were bummed because if you came, it rained.
And they debuted the uniforms and all of that.
Yeah, the Baylor United, the uniforms, and it poured. And then they basically said, all right, well, just go home. And then we got kind of the best access we could have possibly gotten by going to the indoor and getting to see basically just touchdown after touchdown. So,
yeah. Could have kind of actually known then that this was – I mean, I think I even might have said back then this is a little bit of a different looking team. I didn't think they were going to go win 10 games per se, but they were definitely different looking.
They were better, way better.
Yeah, way, way better. So, I hope that everybody gets to watch them this time around, especially with a brand new coach. But that was pretty cool last year for those of you who missed out.
I do want to mention, though, if you do come to the spring game, there are things you can take away for sure, but one thing that I will never forget during that indoor session was Christoph Henley caught a 70-yard touchdown pass, and
yes,
we did not see that during the season.
No, we did not. So thank you for that question, Sikkim Zay. Yes, expect it to be open to the public. And since you're kind of being asked about this here, Bears Den, this was on a basketball podcast, which I guess you and Ashley, but Grayson, I think you were on it. Thought I heard Ashley mention the number one overall seed got to choose their regional. Then both of you thought Kansas would choose Houston. Did I hear that right? I had never heard that type of selection process before. I thought the committee just placed teams where they wanted.
Yeah, so...
With all the projections as of today pointing Baylor towards a one seed in Houston, how does that match up to what you all had discussed?
Right. So I know Jerry Palm got on to You Make the Call the other day and talked about how Kansas kind of had to make this choice before the season, I guess, is kind of how he phrased it. Now, I know a lot of people are saying, why wouldn't they pick Indianapolis? Why wouldn't you do that? It's right next to, you know, Kansas or whatever. It's super close. Why would you not go with that? But there's so much more to that than just the location. And so just to kind of play it out and maybe give people a better feel, the reason why Kansas would choose Houston is because, well, I'll just lay it out for you. In Indianapolis, they could play Duke, based on, you know, Joe Lunardi's predictions, they could play Duke in the Elite Eight, or Creighton in the Elite Eight, which both of those schools would much rather play in Indianapolis than they would in Houston. In the Sweet 16, they could play Wisconsin, which they would much rather be in Indianapolis. But the bigger thing is there's a lot more schools that are super close to Indianapolis than there are to Houston. And so the reason why you pick that is because Kansas feels very good that their fan base is going to travel no matter where they go.
True.
For a Sweet 16 or Elite Eight. Whereas other schools that aren't close won't have as many fans that come. And so that's the reason why you choose Houston, is because of the geographics of it. And so I've been pointing towards this. I do think that they did choose Houston. I've kind of been hinting at that for a while. I know Jason and Ashley both feel the same way. But yes, Kansas did get to pick it. I believe it will be Houston. But if it wasn't, then they just went with the place that's closer. But I will tell you, a lot of fans on the message board are asking, you know, why would Kansas do this to slight Baylor? They did this to slight Baylor, did this, you know, to make sure Baylor didn't make a run. And even before I knew that they did it before, you know, a couple months ago, they did not think about what Baylor was going to do.
They're not
they
worried
were
about
thinking
Baylor.
About what was going to be yeah. their best chance to get to a Final Four.
Right. They're not punching down, guys.
No, they're not. No school is doing that ever, because how's that going to help you if you go to Los Angeles or whatever and don't give yourself a great chance to win it? You're not going to make it.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, but yes, it still matches up with what I was saying. I still believe that they did choose Houston, but we'll see. Obviously, if they choose Indy, that's a great advantage for Baylor.
Yep, certainly. Only got a couple more questions this week. Coach DeBroker, what's the possibility of everyone being healthy for the NCAA tournament? Not 100%.
Yeah.
they will not be 100% healthy.
They won't. I'm really concerned.
Clark for
Tristan,
sure is yeah. pretty much out. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if he's going to play at all.
Because
this
what they said on Monday was basically he's NCAA tournament most likely as far as like any kind of a return or full health or anything like that.
Right.
It would never be full health this year. But
return.
Yeah, be able to play.
Right. And then Mark, I don't think he's going to be at 100% even at the. I just think that his is very much a. If he wakes up one morning, you know what I mean?
With his style, I don't see how he's able to recover and also keep playing in games all that well.
As
you know
hard
what I mean?
As he does.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
So I think you can get better, but you're not going to be ever back to 100%. And I mean, really, who is at this point of the season, but especially with how physical he is. So Meyer should be ready for the Big 12 tournament after
fine.
The little camera incident. That wasn't that big
I
of a deal.
I think he looks fine.
Yeah.
The rest, I think he's fine now, though.
So I think you're looking at a couple of guys to monitor, but with Tristan Clark likely not playing. So, yeah, they won't have everybody healthy.
Yeah, Clark and Vital are the ones that I'm looking at come tournament time. I do believe Vital will play in any game, but obviously they need him to be very effective.
Right.
So we'll see. Tristan, I'm really not banking on him having a monster impact down the stretch.
I mean, why would he now, you know?
Right. It just stinks because you watch that West Virginia game, and they really needed him.
Mm-hmm.
And so they could run into the same problem if they get into foul trouble in the tournament.
Yep, very well could. So, yeah, I guess if you're just being smart, maybe give him the Big 12 tourney off, hope he can get through it, and then, you know, hopefully he's like as healthy as he can possibly be by the time the NCAA tournament rolls around. Coach DeBroker also asked, any expectations on number of commits before the spring game? They're currently at
four.
So do you think they add on to that before the spring game, which is not for another month and change?
So I'm going to look at it in a different way slightly. So 2021, I don't have a huge expectation. Maybe a couple. Maybe they add a couple before then, because they'll probably have one more junior day-like time period before the spring game. And then they'll have visitors for the spring game. But obviously, that won't be before the spring game. So I think after the one, they maybe get a couple more. But I'm actually looking at this as far as 2020. Because there's a couple guys out there as far as transfers go that Baylor's looking at to try to land that could commit to Baylor. So I think that they'll probably add two before the spring game, I would say. And then kind of after that, they still will have space to bring in a couple more. But I think
two for 2020 is what you're saying.
Yeah, because I think Council will make his decision sometime in April.
And you're expecting him to be Baylor as of now?
As of now, I think it'll be Baylor. And then I think one guy we mentioned who really only has an offer from Baylor is Victor Obi.
Right.
He's a JUCO kid.
From Kilgore College?
From Kilgore. He'll be visiting, like I was saying, the weekend after spring break. And I think he ends up a Bear. So those are the two that I'm looking at before the spring game. I think they're going to try to get a couple more guys in, try to figure out how they want to work the numbers and stuff. But I think they have six spots, by the way. That's kind of the number I've been
for 2020?
With. Yeah.
Okay.
Add.
How many do they have in this 2021 class if they were to fill up on those six?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question.
We're kind of just starting at 19 or so, kind of the same old.
Yeah, because I would say that I think they're going to end up taking 20 in this class.
They always do. Like, yeah. No matter who the coach is, it's always like, oh, it's going to be a small class. And I do remember Browse signing like a 15-person class one year. But that's like the only time I've seen that in all the years I've been covering Baylor now.
Yeah, and you got to think that after spring ball, there'll be a little attrition.
Yeah, I would expect some attrition.
At some point. But yeah,
and not that I'm hearing anything, but that's normal.
Normal type stuff. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. So look for it. You got to pay attention in 2021 and 2020 because there's still a lot left in 2020. I mean, six spots is a lot of spots. Not saying they'll use them all, but they can. And they could even go after conventional transfers as well. Guys that hit the portal that they just
some random Georgia wide receiver or something like that.
Right, yeah. That'd be crazy.
It would be crazy. I was going to say, they also, I don't think, are trying to like rush this 21 class and fill it up as much as possible. Like, they'll take commits from guys they really want, but it's kind of nice to be flexible at this stage because it's so early at this point in time. And, you know, there'll be a lot of work done over the entirety of the spring, not just before the spring game and at the spring game. There's still a lot of work to be done, obviously, after that.
Yeah, you're not kidding. And also the fact that, you know, with camps coming up, I mean, this is a great opportunity for them to see testing times as well.
Yeah.
You're going to see more offers go out. So, yeah, you don't want to fill up and then realize, oh, man, there's a 6'3 receiver that just ran a 4.4 at the opening.
At a Riesel.
Maybe we should go find him.
Right.
You know? So, definitely, you hit the nail on the head with that one. They definitely don't want to fill up too quick.
Well, Coach DeBroker, we do appreciate the question. And final thing this week, Bela Bala, Big 12 men's basketball. Oh, this is a great question. I wonder how quickly you'll answer it because it did make me think for a second. But Baylor Bala closes out this week with this hypothetical of choosing between a Big 12 men's basketball tournament championship and them going on to lose in the Elite Eight on a buzzer beater or getting smoked by TCU in their first matchup on Thursday in the Big 12 tournament. But the alternative to that is you make it to the Final Four and lose in the Final Four.
Yeah, take that L by 100 points to TCU and make the Final Four. It's for me, this was just super easy because making the Final Four, that's the peak.
Right.
That's the pinnacle. That takes Scott Drew from being a good coach to being a great coach.
And that's what ultimately tipped me. It's definitely the uglier route, though, although you would get to your first Final Four. So that would be a big deal and a nice first it's not the first Final Four, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, they made it to Elite Eight that year. Yeah, that's when they lost
made it to
Duke.
Elite Eight twice. That's the one thing that that's the top right
there. Right, so it has to be that. And it would be anyways, even if he'd already made it before, just because Final Four is such rare air. But, yeah, this getting smoked by TCU. The problem is you wouldn't know that the ultimate like finish would be in the Final Four, so it's gonna feel really bad if it were to happen that way. But
the panic on the board if they lost by 30 points to TCU,
that'd be terrible.
Oh my goodness. But I'm also
Scott Drew can't coach.
Yeah, I'm also thinking of it as they get smoked by TCU and then they win every game leading up to the Final Four by 50. So.
Right. Yeah, that's another way of looking at it.
A possibility, right?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, the Final Four outweighs the Big 12 Men's Tournament Championship.
And an Elite Eight.
Yeah, so that's what we'll go there with that. Baylor Bala, really appreciate the question this week, and that'll do it for the questions and for the podcast this week. I'm going to be heading out to go pack and then take in my talents to Kansas City for the next few days and that depends on how long the men and women last, but I'm expecting the Lady Bears at least to keep me there till Sunday, and hopefully the men will keep us there for that long at the bare minimum as well.
Yeah, hopefully it's a really good tournament and that there's a lot of competition and that both Baylor teams can make a little bit of a run. That'd
yeah.
be nice.
It'd be nice. It would be nice, but we will see starting on Thursday with the men and then the women on Friday. So a lot to talk about next week on the podcast. And Grayson, anything before we go?
No, nothing really. Just excited for, like I said, for March Madness and for camps to come up. But I will definitely be recapping the camp on the podcast next week. Maybe
cool.
There'll be another.
I like talking recruiting, even though I don't cover it as ground level as you guys
yeah,
do. But I pay a lot of attention to it.
Yeah, there could be another Damon Demas.
Oh, really?
Pops up. Maybe.
Hmm.
We'll see. I don't know if it's possible because, I mean, once again, I mean, Julio Jones 2.0.
Right. Yeah.
Based on what I saw, I mean, you know how that is. He's the running joke because he is phenomenal. So hopefully I get to see some more talented guys like that this weekend. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, no doubt. So that'll do it for us this week. We really appreciate you listening. Definitely, as I always say, tell a neighbor, tell a friend who might be a Baylor fan, might be interested in getting a little extra content, a little extra Baylor injected into their veins on a weekly basis. We are here not 52 weeks a year, but pretty daggum close. About 50 weeks out of last year, out of the 52, and we'll be similar to that this year as well, even over the course of the entire summer, talking recruiting and all of that. But this is a really special time of year because we are hot and heavy with basketball, and pretty soon spring football, and of course sports like baseball as well. So should be a fun spring, and we do appreciate you listening, as I said. So take care, and we will talk to you next week on Trust the Podcast on Sikkim365.com.